Take your Bibles out and the green insert in the bulletin. Got a few notes for us this morning, and turn to Colossians chapter 4. And this morning we'll be reading verses 2 through 6. And so I don't know if you noticed the new banner outside. Beautiful design, Terry, thank you on that. And talking about investment in eternity. And we're talking about investment in eternity. Pastor Mike has introduced us and prepared us to walk through this concept of investing. And it's not investing the things that we can touch. Last week he talked about relationships. He talked about investing in relationships. And we'll be talking about time today and a few other things, you know, money, financial resources, or just resources in general, our talents and abilities. When we talk about this, you know, we have different investment and advice from Jesus, the first of which is in Matthew 3, 2, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We hear this all the time, right? The kingdom of God is here. It's not just in heaven, but it's here. It's now. We talk about our future, you know, our kids. You know, the kids are not just our future, but the kids are now. When we talk about kingdom minutes, though, it's sometimes that may be a little hard to understand, right? I remember, you know, for me in the early 2000s or the late 90s, remember that transition from you know, home phones to, you know, kind of these pagers and beepers to when cell phones really became common use. I mean, I can vaguely remember when minutes were like 60 minutes, 90-minute plans for a month. Remember that? I mean, I remember it like probably some of you remember switching from rotary to touch dial phone, right? No? Remember the rotary? You know, you go one and click, 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 click. You know, eight, click, 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 click. You know, that was even before you had to put in area codes. It was just seven numbers. Imagine if you try to do that now with 10 numbers, right? So you just imagine, right? So when we talk about kingdom minutes, we're talking about those kind of minutes, you know? In a sense, we are, right? Because, you know, if we look at this review of what we're talking about, because now is the time for kingdom work. We talk about a review. We talk about some of these things, the first of which, ownership is a God thing. That couldn't be more true than with time, right? I mean, God doesn't even really give us much scripture on time because he just owns it. There shouldn't be any reason why he should have to tell us anything about time because it's his. And yet we find this struggle between us and God on how to use time for kingdom minutes or how to use our time to be better stewards, which is the second point. We are all called to be stewards. If ownership is a God thing and God owns time, then what do we have? Well, we have borrowed time. Right? As much as we'd like to think about it, you know, our lives, our time here on earth is just but a vapor to God, right? I mean, can you imagine, you know, people talk about, you know, when they talk about the creation of earth and all this stuff, you're talking about millions and millions of times, and we're talking about, you know, 100 years here on earth maybe, and you want to compare that. And so we have to be stewards, managers, whatever you want to call it, of God's time. The first of which to have that is to have a kingdom attitude, which is based on faith. Because much like anything else, our time can't be guaranteed to us. So the faith aspect of it is to know that every day that God gives us here on earth is a day to work towards his kingdom. And his kingdom is eternity. The first of which Pastor Mike talked about last week is our relationships have eternal consequences. And he talked about the risk involved sometimes with relationships and how we have to invest in people. And we know that people are tricky. We know that people are more than just what we see on the outside, but there's depth. There's stories, there's experiences, there's emotions that each of us have. And so anytime we deal with people and take that risk, there may be consequences. But if we have relationships with people like we do with God and Jesus, then those relationships are eternal. Which leads us then to understand this, that we are all given the same amount of time, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, we could talk about resources and talk about different things, but, you know, all of us are given the same amount of time. You know, some may have more resources, talents, financial, but, you know, time, we all have the same amount of time, right? We're all given the same amount of, you know, given life, but there's only one thing that's guaranteed in life, right? We're all given one guarantee, and that's death, right? And as soon as you're born, right? The clock's already ticking. And what makes it kind of, you know, worrisome to us is that we don't know when our time is up, which is exactly why kingdom minutes is why we're here. You see, we have two very different concepts of time. The first of which, our time as humans, is what the Greek called, or the Greek word is chronos, which is the quantity of time, right? That's kind of like, you know, when you think about a timeline, right? Or you talk about when I was young and when I was 6 and 7. It's numbers, right? It's a sequential time, right? And this is the time that we try to grasp. We try to understand, how can we manipulate time? How can we, you know, make time last longer? How can we, you know, 24/7, you know, there's 24 hours a day. How can we make it so there's 25? I mean, how do I stretch time to do what I want to do? Time is so weird and so vast that, you know, there's magazines, or there's a magazine called Time, right? There's, I don't know, countless songs on time. How to describe it, what it's like. Time is so weird is that there's self-help books on how to manage time. And people try to tell you, you know what, you can make time work for you, which is true if you're on God's time. And looking at God's time, God's concept of time is, the Greek root for that is kairos. And kairos is, in essence, quality of time. You see, it's not necessarily just the sequential, because God doesn't understand really, or he doesn't, it's not that he doesn't understand. We don't understand what his concept of time is, right? When he created the world like this, we like to think like 7 days, as in like 24-hour days that he created the earth, right? But I couldn't tell you. But, you know, God just created the world, and we just try to explain it, right? But God did it with such quality, it doesn't matter the quantity in which he did it. Isn't that right? He created the world with such finite details to say that, you know, why did he give us 5 fingers and all these things? And he created us and created all this stuff to say that, you know, there's a food chain and there's environmental things to say that there's quality in what he did. There's a reason why he did everything. We don't need to understand the timeline of why he did it. And so kairos is about this opportune time that we have. It's the supreme moment. You know, that time where you know, it doesn't matter how long it took. But boy, you live in that memory, you enjoy it, you savor it. Those are kingdom minutes. So what are kingdom minutes then? In more detail, how can we better describe kingdom minutes? Well, it seems pretty self-explanatory, right? I mean, anything we do for the advancement, for the furthering, right, of God's kingdom, anytime we appreciate God's kingdom, we can say those are kingdom minutes. But is it simply that kingdom minutes equals quality time? I mean, is it just when I sit down and have a conversation with somebody, you know what, that's some quality time, that's some kingdom minutes? Could be. It depends on what definition you go by. The world's or God's? Sometimes our lines get blurry, our vision distorted. Time is God's. We are in his. We are in his time. Sometimes in order to understand what something is, it's to first understand what it is not. So what are not kingdom minutes? Well, the first is busyness. And if you look in your note sheet, you'll find that there's quite a few scripture passages. And I should probably start by reading the first in Colossians 4, 2 through 6. This is the reading of God's word. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. As Mr. Ed had shared, being seasoned with salt, how do we make the value of our time worth the kingdom minutes? And of course, the first of which is not to be busy. 2 Thessalonians 3:11 says that we hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are just busy bodies. We've talked about this all the time. Busyness, right? What is busyness? Why are we busy? First, because we don't know what to do with our time when we're idle. A lot of us felt uncomfortable during 1 minute of silence. And oftentimes when we're idle, we don't know what to do, so we think we have to be busy, right? We have to move. We have to appear as if there's some value or worth to what we're doing. Mainly because I think the first reason why is because of ego and pride. We want to appear important to those around us, even to ourselves. We get caught up in building lists of accomplishments, for ourselves that we forget that God tells us that we are to be quiet so that the Holy Spirit can be busy and working in others. But we distract ourselves. We get in the way of our own work, of God's kingdom work. We usually find that busyness equals laziness. We've talked about this before, too. Taking time to do God's work means actually working, right? What is working? Working means like praying, right? Maybe reading, learning. Maybe actually looking people in the eyes when you talk to them. I don't know about you, but we find some of these things fall by the wayside now. Anybody have kids that text you from downstairs? Yeah? Or better yet, you instant message or chat somebody on the laptop next to you? It's pretty easy. And sometimes it's easier than to take the time to look somebody in the eye and talk to them. Right? Or to listen to them at least, you know? Sometimes we just forget these things. Also, we find that busyness leads to greed. You know, never being satisfied. You know, enough is never enough. You know, we move from one task to another, hoping that we can be fulfilled by keeping ourselves occupied. You know, which among us are idle, or of those of us, you know, that are idle, which one of us are ready to do and not ready to listen? Ready to be busy and not ready to receive from God. You know, the biggest mistake about being busy is allowing the physical to dictate the spiritual, right? We find that, oh, if we do this, then you know what? I don't have to pay attention to the spiritual. You know, if I'm staying busy, then I really can't hear what God wants to tell me. That's what 2 Thessalonians, you know, warns us not to do. God also warns us not to be wasteful. Wastefulness can be a dangerous thing. I won't read all these passages, you know, that we reference because, to be quite frankly, it's quite a few. But to understand that, you know, Ephesians 5, 8 through 17 talks about being in the dark and then coming to light, right? For you were once in darkness, and you'll be able to read some of this, but you are now in the light of the Lord. And it goes on to talk about being visible, you know, exposing, you know, those things in the dark by light, right? Those things in the dark being exposed by God and the light, so that everything that is illuminated becomes a light, right? God tells us, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Use your time wisely. See, we waste the present time by regretting the past and worrying about the future. We become concerned about the things that God controls and we start trying to figure out why he's doing what he's doing. We waste so much time in thinking about the things that God is in control of as opposed to saying we need to control what we can control. Ourselves. Paul tells us in this passage of Ephesians that we need not be concerned about, you know, fruitful deeds of darkness, right? We already know that if it's not going to help you, you know, our parents tell us this, if it's not going to help you, then why do it? For God's light brings eternal value to what it touches and what it exposes. Wastefulness then leads to selfishness. James 3:16 says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil practice. Boy, envy and selfish ambition are all about spending our time and efforts gathering for ourselves, storing up. Ever been in a relationship where you have no time to do what you want to do? Where there's no consideration given towards sharing and experiences? Right? It's more like a business, a relationship. How do you think God feels when he's in relationship with us, where we don't do what he wants us to do, right? In the relationships we consume all the time, no time is given to God. You know, we forget that God, you know, is a powerful God. He's a mighty God, but above all, he's unselfish God. And, you know, if we think about it, God wants us to do things that are going to be good for us, and yet we want to take control and do things the way we want to do it. So we begin to see what kingdom minutes are not, but then can also begin to get an idea of what it is. To get a firmer grasp, then we can ask ourselves with kingdom minutes, then with this quality of time that you have, what are you doing? Can I ask, are you punching in? Going back to this Matthew 3:2, you know, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here, it's now. The work is to be done now. Are you punching in? Well, punching in means, are you ready to work? Do you just show up and think that attendance means production? You know, are you ready to punch in and get down and dirty, or do you stand by the water cooler or the coffee pot? Do you stand and hope that when you get back to your desk, the work will be done? Wistful thinking. It takes effort, we talked about, to do work. Otherwise, you're going through the motions. You're spinning your wheels. You know, in your relationships, do you spend time listening, or do you spend time talking, giving advice? At work, at school, do you just get by to be, you know, acceptable, or do you strive to be the best worker, the best student, the best husband, the best wife, the best son or daughter that you can be? You know, it's a lot like sports. You know, have you ever, punching in, have you ever seen anybody play not to lose versus playing to win? I mean, I can think about one team in particular that plays not to lose, but I won't go there, okay? We all know who we're talking about, right? But what happens when you play not to lose? Think about it. You're a little bit tentative, right? You don't want to make mistakes, right? You're fearful that somebody, if you mess up, somebody's going to take your spot, right? They're going to take your job, right? You may get embarrassed. You may be the guy on the big screen that gets exposed. You play to win. What happens? It's all about the mindset, right? You know you're going to make mistakes, right? But ultimately, you know that you know, at least there's a possibility. If you play right, you play with passion, you're competitive, you understand that God is going to provide for you, that you're going to win. You see, we forget that ultimately God wins. We do know that, right? Because God is eternity. He wins. Right? And yet we have time, we have trouble understanding that it's the battles in which we fight right now on behalf of God. There's battles in which, you know, out there, there's no presence of God. There's no presence of the kingdom. And so it's our job, our duty, our responsibility to put time in to make sure that God's presence and his kingdom is present to everybody. Yet we forget that. In putting in work or doing work, we often find God communicating to us, at least for me, right? It's during when I'm doing work that God speaks to me. And I know you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, yeah, like Rev Kev, I mean, you only work in the church, so that's like, duh, right? But, you know, I find that in other areas too. I mean, it makes sense to me too, but I find it in other areas too. You know, if I'm doing work, I love to spend 3 days a week in the gym to get this exertion out, right? You know, and what I love about, you know, working out or exercising, if you guys run, everybody has this kind of place where you can exert and do work, right, and do it with a passion. You know, if you ask me what I think about when I work out, let me tell you. You know what? I become a blank slate. And again, I know you're thinking at me looking like, well, you're a man. Makes sense, right? You're looking at me like, that's, you know, my husband right there, right? You're explaining what a man does. But listen, when I work out, there's something therapeutic about it, you know, about doing work, you know, being in line. You know, all you have to worry about is right then and now, you know, because when you're working out, when you're exercising, when you're running, you can't think about what you're going to do after, right? You got to really focus on the next mile, on this next set, on this next lift, and really get your body to be in sync with your mind. Right? And all God is asking is to take it a step further. Your body and mind need to be in one just as much as your body, mind, and spirit need to be in tune with God. That's why I find that when I work out, I can find this time of sanctuary for God to speak to me. And he speaks to me even though I have, you know, music playing, all this stuff, or there's music playing in the gym. There's this time where it's blank and I'm a blank slate to God and he speaks to me. Just as much or important as punching in is, we also find out that punching out is just as important, if not more. Ecclesiastes 3:1-8 explains and talks about a time for everything, right? It talks about a season for activity under the heavens, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. It talks about a time for everything. And I was just reminded most recently that there was a song inspired by this. You remember it? Any baby boomers? I mean, people. Right? Well, how does it go? There's a time, and then the only part I remember is turn, right? And that was a song that was popular during the peacemaking time, right? The hippie time in this country. And I only remember because I remember my social studies teacher telling me about this, you know? So it's very, very vivid in my mind. And so when we talk about time, you know, there's a time to punch in, but then listen, there's also a time to punch out, right? There's a time to rest, right? But when God says rest, he doesn't mean become a vegetable. He doesn't mean just sleep. He doesn't mean just become lazy. He also wants you to receive during this time, right? We see in the Colossians passage, right? He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, right? Because when we pray, when we're in our downtime, we need to be, you know, prayerful. We need to be watchful and not get careless, right? We still need to be active to a certain degree, right? Is resting staying busy, or do you have to pay attention to those things that need caring for, right? God wants us to use time to rest, to take care of ourselves. You know, even when you punch out, there should be a purpose. You know, are you communicating? Are you listening? Are you receiving wisdom, guidance, love? Are you doing these things? Usually we only think of resting in a physical sense. But when we're worked out, right, what we talked about, then we're able to see that God can refill us, rejuvenate us with the Holy Spirit. You know, thinking about to working out. You know, when you exercise and work out, you know the most important part of working out is? It's not just punching in, but it's the punching out, right? You know what happens now, if there's any health professionals, you could probably back me up on this, right? You know, first of all, when we think about working out, a lot of us think like, okay, when you work out, like there's a muscle that you work out, right? So you think, oh, you know, I have small bicep, right? So you think, okay, I want to get my bicep bigger, so I'll do curls or I'll do something where I can, you know, work this out. And we think that it's just one muscle, right? Just for example, the bicep, right? But in reality, right, it's not just one muscle, but, you know, the bicep is made of multiple fibers, right? And so that's why when you work out, right, and you really work out a muscle, you're recruiting muscle, extra muscle fibers to do the work, right? And these muscle fibers get exhausted. And when you work out, they tear, right? Your muscle tears, right? Which is why resting is important, because it's during the recovery period, right, that it's torn and it repairs itself, right? And when it repairs itself, it gets stronger, right? And so now you start to realize that's why when you exercise and stuff, you know, not only are you burning fat and doing all these things, but you're recruiting more muscle fibers to do what you need to do, so then it becomes stronger. And so that's why the rest period is crucial, right? When you work out and you empty yourself out to the world, you rest and say, God, only you can refill me to where you need me to be. Recovery, rebuilding, strengthening muscles. If our bodies need time to recover, aren't our spirits the same? In your downtime, when it's just you and God, are you allowing God to use the time to heal, or do you just want time to pass so you can forget about the pain, or forget about your worries, or forget about what you need to do next? Lastly, we want to talk about punching in, punching out, but all of this means nothing if you're not glorifying God. Colossians 3:17 tells us, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Listen, glorifying God is everything, right? And I understand where some of us or the world thinks about it is when we glorify God, we need to neglect other things, right? The point is not to neglect our duties or responsibilities, right? Some people think, just like when God says you're chosen, right? He doesn't mean that by choosing you, I have to reject somebody else. Because the world says, you know what? When I choose you, right, for kickball, for math team, for baseball, when I choose you, right, that means I'm rejecting somebody else. That's what the world tells us. God says, no. When I choose you, you know what? I choose you because you're special, because you're unique, because you're my child, and there's nothing that neglects anybody else, but I want to put all my attention towards you. And our great, you know, our God is so great and mighty that you know what? He can do that to you and to you and to you and to you, and it doesn't matter because he has all the power in the world. Right? And so when we glorify God, we should do the same. You know, by glorifying God, it doesn't mean that our outside, external actions change. You can still go to the cleaners. You can still do your grocery shopping, get gas, go to the store. But boy, if you change not here, you change here, the approach that you go to, right? It's not about Facebook, right? It's about God's book, right? Doesn't matter if you got 2,000 friends on Facebook. You have 150, 200 people right here in God's book. This church, you have 500 people available to you at any time to talk to share, hear stories. What do you do to glorify God in everyday life? For me, maybe a surprise to you, but to me, I find it in food, in eating, right? And you look at me and you think I'm joking. If you ever have the opportunity, watch me when I eat. I'm telling you. Oh, I love to eat. I mean, listen, there's no more oneness in what I do or what I say or how I breathe than when I eat, okay? I understand. Listen, when I'm eating with you, that's my most vulnerable time. You know, if I was like a king or something and you wanted to get me, I mean, you get me at dinner time because I am vulnerable. I am, you know, I am just relaxed. I am ready to receive the blessings from God, right? And if you've ever, you know, shared a meal with me, you'll find that that's the one I'm most loving too, you know? And I'm serious. I can't think of a more, you know, precious time than time with family to eat, you know, break bread together when you have guests over. Right? Family time. That's why we think about holidays is so great, right? We talk about Christmas holidays. What do you think about? It's not about the gifts, right? It's about that time, that fellowship together that you share over a meal. Everybody puts in work to feed each other. And so in respect to time, to what God wants us to put our time, our kingdom minutes towards, he reminds us a few things. Four, as a matter of fact, you find there in your notes. The first of which, he wants us to treasure our time. Value what and how much you have because God has blessed you with it. Know that the time given on earth is done with a purpose for God. It is a responsibility for us then to seek his plan, his will for us. It's not just for us to treasure the time, but rather share the moments that we have in our relationships, our experiences, our challenges, pain, sacrifices, joys, celebrations. Sometimes it's hard to realize the value of time, right? Let's work our way down. You know, realize the value of 1 year. It may be hard for us to, but you know, ask a student, if you've ever known a student that's ever maybe been held back a grade, and ask them how much a year makes, how much a difference a year makes. Imagine if you were born, you know, a year earlier or a year later than you were. Think about it. You probably have a whole set of different friends than what you have now, or maybe that you grew up with in high school or grade school. Think of the value of 1 month. You know, if you ask a mother maybe who's given maybe, you know, birth to a baby that's premature, ask them how much a difference a month makes. An hour. How much does an hour mean to you? Ask the businessman that missed a flight for that business meeting they needed to get to. How important is 1 hour to him? 1 minute. Ask a football team how much a minute means to them when there's 2 minutes left. And you fall short when it's zero and you're on the 15-yard line. You know, you want to know the value of a second? Yeah? You know that one time maybe you almost got in a car accident and you saw life flash before your eyes in 1 second or less? Understand the value of a second. Understand the value of time. Understand that when he tells us in Colossians 4, 5 through 6, that, you know, be wise in the way you act towards one another, making the most of every opportunity. You know, be full of grace in your conversation, seasoned with salt. Know that there's value in everything that we do, every moment that's given to us. You know, they talk about, you know, times in which you can be with somebody and know the importance of it. You know, you hold a young baby, you know, in your hands, right? And you put your ear up to the baby's chest, right? And to know that the heartbeat is what, right? The most favorite song you could ever hear, right? I know you're thinking, well, Kev, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, I never had, you know, my baby's, you know, up to me. But, you know, I have a little brother, and I wish I could show you this picture. But, you know, when he was young, you know, of course, the kid's running around, and he's crazy. And, you know, I used to have to watch him and stuff. And you know, to get him to calm down, I learned, you know, you learn a few tricks, right? And one of which was, you know, I tell him, you know, of course, hey, let's play the silent game, right? And a silent game never worked for me, right? Because I couldn't stay silent. And so, you know, I broke the rule almost immediately, right? But I found, you know, if I'm sitting there, you know, laying down watching TV or something, and, you know, little Kenny's running around, I used to tell him, I don't even know how it came to me, but I said, hey, you know, lay on my back, you know, and just lay on my back for a second. And it was like this game or something. And so he'd lay on my back, you know, and he'd be moving around, watching TV or something. And what I'd do was I'd breathe real heavy, right? Maybe like 30 seconds. We just breathe real heavy. And all of a sudden, I could just feel this air come out of him, and he just relaxes, you know, and he'd fall asleep on my back. And this is, of course, it was a very long time ago. You know, if you've seen Kenny, you know, I couldn't reenact that to save my life. You know, that kid is huge now, right? But we used to do that. And my sister would, you know, I'd do it, and my sister would walk by and say, you want me to take him off? I said, no, I love this. You know, because you're in one, man. I mean, you enjoy these kingdom minutes that you have with family, with loved ones, right? Oftentimes, I'd fall asleep, too. You try breathing hard for 30 seconds, see what happens, right? Right? You just put yourself to sleep, oh, man, you know, before you realize it, right? So, you know, they say that time is money, yet we know that we can't make more of it. You know, you can't share it. You can't slow it down. You know, you can't hold it up. You can't divide it. You know, unlike Jesus Christ, right? With time, when you kill it, it doesn't come back. You know, you can't relive it. Once you lose time, it's gone. So you have to treasure it, right? Treasure the time and value it, you know. The next is to invest it, right? We got to talk about investment. Invest in eternity. You know, you cannot save it. You can't save time. So where you invest your time reveals how important it is to you. You know, we talk about it all the time. You know, just look at just people say, you know, the three most important things is, you know, your calendar book, your checkbook, and your time, you know, or what have you. And you know, where you know, if people were to look at you and they look at, you know, your checkbook to see where you invest your money or where you know, spend your money, if they look at your calendar book to understand where you spend your time and invest your time, they can understand a lot about you, right? And so if you sit here and you want to tell people that you're a follower of Christ, and yet if they look at the time that you invest and spend on behalf of God, what would that reveal to them? And it's a rhetorical question. It's just to understand, where do we invest our time? Where do we put, you know, the fruits of God's spirit, of our spirit? Do we put it in eternity, or do we put it in institutions? Do we put it in these things that are empty or that will run out of time? Treasure, invest. The next is to manage. I know manage sometimes can have negative connotations. If you'd like, you could say, you know, be obedient stewards. But all of it is to understand, is to recognize, is to acknowledge, is that God's time is his time, and he's only given it to us for a certain amount of time. And so with that certain amount of time, we have to understand it's ours to, you know, it's ours that we're responsible for. You know, when we talk about managing time, it's not about making more time. It's not about making time work for us, but it's to remember that time is created and controlled by God. We're given responsibility to watch over it. This Ephesians 5 passage, you know, the Apostle Paul reminds us that, you know, the days are evil, that things in this world are evil. We must use our time and opportunities wisely, right? You see, when you have a relationship with God, you talk about eternity. You know, we're given a vision. We're given a larger horizon. We don't just think about these short-term things, right? It's not just focused on what's at hand, but it's on being at peace with what's to come. If you don't make time for God, then people and situations of this world will take your time. They'll consume you. If you allow work, work will take your time up. If you're not intentional about protecting and being active stewards of God's time, then something, anything, will consume it. The last of which, you know, if we treasure, we invest, we manage, the last of which, then we then enjoy God's time, the kingdom minutes that he gives us. It's know when to say no to worldly minutes so that you can say yes to kingdom minutes. You know, after making space and giving time to God to use for kingdom minutes, you can look back and focus your attention then on receiving his love, receiving his guidance in abundance. You never hear anybody say, I wish I had spent more time at work. Do you? I wish I had spent more money on that car. Time is so precious to us. It's here for us to enjoy. He's designed us to be used to share in these kingdom moments with him in eternity. And so when we lay down our sacrifices in terms of this worldly time that we have, to understand that what I do now affects me for eternity, and understand that your perspective changes, you don't become reformed, but you become transformed. And so last but not least, then, we have to ask then, whose time are you on? Our lifetimes or God's eternity? Know that there's a kingdom difference between which one you choose. Know that there is no choice if we choose to live within our lifetimes. And think about it. I mean, just really think about it in the most practical sense, right? If you want to accomplish what you want to accomplish in your lifetime, then you're going to have to choose to do some things, right? Because you've only got so much time. You're going to have to be selective about what you do and who you do it with, right? But if you choose to work with God's time, God's eternity, then you know what? You don't have to do anything, but you're allowed to do whatever you want. You see, if you want to do everything in your lifetime, you have to be selective, right? And the spiritual truth here this morning is to say, if we elect to live in God's eternity, then you are free to choose how you want to spend your kingdom minutes. Our lifetime's selection versus God's time's election. God doesn't do this to bind us. He does it to free us. Kingdom minutes are up to us. And if you remember back to that Verizon commercial, can you hear him now? God is reaching out. He wants you to understand that, gosh, he's got so much time for you to understand and to enjoy his will, and it's up to you whether or not you want to receive. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to come and to gather and to understand how to be better stewards of time with you in your kingdom. As we try to get a grasp and understand and complicate ourselves, we ask that you help us to simplify, to remember that it's about receiving in order to do work, receiving in order to know you and to love you. Guide us and direct us as always, and pray that our time is your time. As we pray for all things in Christ's name, amen.